Good evening. Welcome to this special broadcast of the Pacifica Foundation's Local Station Board Candidate Forum. My name is Aaron Morris. I am the local election supervisor. It is my privilege to be the moderator for tonight's engagement. This is the second of five such forums in which we plan to have 19 total candidates speak and showcase their talents. The format of tonight's forum is a facilitated question and answer session, followed by a time for questions from listeners at home. I will ask a total of four questions and take four questions from call-in listeners. As agreed, each candidate will have an opportunity to address each question in such a way as a question will be directed toward one candidate, and that candidate will have 2 minutes to respond, followed by 1.5 minute responses from each remaining candidate, and finally a 30-second redress from the original candidate. We have timekeepers here in the studio, and all participants have agreed to adhere to the time constraints. As for the candidates participating remotely, I have advised them that I will politely interrupt them at 30-second marks and once again when their times have expired. I want to ask that all call-in listeners direct questions to all candidates, general questions. Your calls will be screened, and questions directed at all candidates will be taken ahead of calls directed at one candidate. Also, please keep your questions concise, preferably 20 seconds or less, in order to leave time for candidates' responses. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425, and also toll-free 1-800-958-9008. The order in which candidates will respond was determined by random selection, and with that, I want to begin by giving our candidates each 2 minutes to introduce themselves, starting with our first candidate, Mr. Dan Siegel.
Thank you, Aaron. My name is Dan Siegel, and I am asking everyone to vote for me, to reelect me to the LSB, and to vote for all members of the KPFA slate. I want to say that this is a very serious moment for the history of Pacifica. We are literally on a financial cliff, about to go into bankruptcy, way behind, having, because of poor leadership since 2009, overspent our budget by a total of $5.4 million. When I say please vote for me and for the Save KPFA slate members, it's out of no hostility to the people in United for Community Radio. Many of them are friends. I hold them with great respect and affection. I see them in the streets of demonstrations that I participate in. The problem is not really what's happening at Berkeley with KPFA, but what is happening on the national level, where a coalition of people, and those people include, unfortunately, some of the folks from United for Community Radio, have spent us over a fiscal cliff and are refusing to deal with the problem. So I'm running for re-election in the hope that people who agree with me, not only in this signal area, but around the country, will restore sane and rational leadership. The big financial problem is WBAI in New York. It has run over budget by over $5 million in the last 5 years, but people will not deal with the problem because of petty politics, not principled politics, personal petty politics. So the national board, the national leadership, including some of our colleagues from United for Community Radio, will not solve this problem, and that's why we need to restore responsible leadership. Please vote for Save KPFA.
Thank you. That was Dan Siegel. Now, Ramses Tion Nichols.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My name is Ramses Tion Nichols, and I am a candidate for United for Community Radio, the slate UCR. And I have been a listener to KPFA for basically since I moved to the Bay Area 11 years ago. And KPFA is a very important radio station for me as a main source of news and programming that I listen to all the time. I'm deeply involved in the community as a labor and community organizer. And these are the things that are very important to me to make sure that I continue to be part of KPFA, as a listener, I also contribute back to KPFA because this station has done a lot for organizing in the community, both community struggles and in labor. I want to say that the experience that I want to bring is regarding bringing people together, uniting, you know, a lot of the folks around KPFA and the entire community, both folks who are involved in KPFA already and people who are listeners like myself who had never in the past stepped up to run for local station board but now are starting to wonder what's going to happen to KPFA next, right? A lot of us have sensed that there's been some infighting at the station and differences in terms of, like, policies and what KPFA should do next and how. And that's, those are things that just kind of really hurt from a listener perspective, from the outside, seeing that those are, like, some real issues and that it's halting the missions and values of our station from moving forward. So that's what I want to bring in. Again, I'm running with a slate of candidates who are also involved in the community and at KPFA. It's a big mix of us. I appreciate the folks who asked me to run because I had never thought about it before. And as a candidate, I hope that I can be elected to the local station board and also be able to bring in younger people and stations, younger people who are listeners to our station into KPFA to participate and make it better and move forward for us.
Thank you. That was Ramses Tail Nichols. And now Jose Luis Fuentes.
Hello, my name is Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. I was born in El Salvador, and I came here when I was 7 years old to the Los Angeles area. Moved up here in 1987 to UC Berkeley when I started attending Cal. I started listening to KPFK then when I was living at Barrington Hall. From there, I moved down back to Los Angeles to law school, and my mentor, Art Goldberg, taught me how to be a community lawyer, representing folks in the streets, anarchists in the streets who no one else wanted to represent, representing protesters who would get arrested, struggling with the Long Beach Police Department, helping Greenpeace activists. From there, I moved back up to the Bay Area, where my heart and my mind was set to come back to. And there I continued my training with Dan Siegel, and he's been training me to continue being a community attorney and a political activist. I've want to run for the board. I am running for the board because one of the things when I came up with Peter Frank, who taught me that radio needs to be and the media needs to be your first issue, if not your second issue, was to make sure that the corporations do not take control of our voice. This is why I believe KPFA is important. We tried revoking the corporate charter of Clear Channel, and it was trying to take over lots of radio stations. And I see the current situation with Pacifica running a top-down structure being analogous to Clear Channel. We need to be responsive to listeners, and we need to take our lead from listeners. It has to be a bottom-up structure. We have to listen to the people. We're here to serve the people. We're not here to serve our own ideological interests, and I'm hoping to restore that sanity back to KPFA.
Okay, thank you. That was Jose Luis Fuentes Ramon. And finally, remotely, Karen Pickett.
Hi, my name is Karen Pickett, and I'm endorsed by the United for Community Radio team. And I worked in the activist community in the Bay Area and elsewhere for over 30 years, mostly on environmental issues, but I've also worked on issues of civil rights, particularly protecting the civil rights of activists. And that work included, in part, being involved for many years with the Judy Berry versus FBI case, other COINTELPRO cases, the so-called Green Scare cases, the Bear Lincoln case, the Native American case in Mendocino County, and the pepper spray trials in the mid and early 2000s. I've also taught classes in grassroots activist skills and media skills out in the field and in the college classroom. I've long been affiliated with Earth First, and I've been on several other boards, including the Global Justice Ecology Project, and I'm on the school board in my local rural community. And I was a co-founder, along with David Brower and people in the Steelworkers Union, of a blue-green alliance back around 1999-2000 with the Alliance for Sustainable Jobs and the Environment that predated the blue-green alliances that exist today. I am running for the KPFA local station board for much the same reason that I do the rest of my activist work. It's out of love. I love KPFA. I love radio as a medium. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Karen Pickett. Okay, we're going to jump right into our question and answer period. Questions were selected randomly before the broadcast. I'm just going to start right in. The question first will go to Mr. Dan Siegel. The first question, what constituencies, if any, do you feel could be a liaison for to KPFA, and how specifically would you maintain communication with that particular constituency?
I think that I'm currently playing the role of helping to connect KPFA to many constituencies in the Bay Area. I'm a labor attorney. I represent the NUHW and also several progressive SEIU locals, and so I'm engaged with the labor movement on a daily basis. I work in Occupy Oakland and have been involved in the Labor Committee and the Justice Committee, and most importantly, I've been involved in the struggle against police abuse and racial profiling in Oakland, and have been very active in the Justice for Alan Bluford committee, as well as before that, the Oscar Grant Coalition. And I think that KPFA needs to be more involved in the communities in East Oakland and other parts of the Bay Area. And one of the things I'd like to see happen at KPFA is a greater commitment of resources to covering local affairs, whether it's the labor movement or school district issues or people's movements throughout the East Bay. And those are constituencies that I would like to continue to be involved with and continue to help bring closer to KPFA.
Okay, thank you. That was Dan Siegel. Now the question to Ramses Tian Nichols.
Yeah, so what constituencies? Constituencies that I could be connected to are that I've been a part of also is the labor community, immigrant rights community, definitely a lot of nonprofit workers, you know, and not necessarily movement oriented or politics, but social services, which is something that I've been working in for the last 7 years, and also been a rank and file member as a social services worker, and a lot of also direct action organizing and activism going on, and through the work that I do in labor, also a lot of the politics involved in terms of like local, state, federal politics and how labor is connected to and the people involved in that and directing legislature, organizing for that, and its relevance, you know, to us as a whole community, right? And connecting all those different struggles by way of our constituencies that are already out there doing a lot of that work. So that's what I would try to bring in. Definitely that's where like a lot of my experience is. It's definitely a lot of labor and immigrant rights, which is also a lot of my passion. So that's what I would try to do.
Thank you. That was Mr. Teo Nichols. And now the question to Mr. Luis Fuentes Roman.
Thank you. That's a good question, and I think this goes into what is the role of a board member. And now, my understanding of being in boards is that we're not supposed to be meddling with programming, and that is for the listeners, that is for the general manager, program director to do. As board members, it's our role to deal with the finances and deal with the 5 million plus hole that Pacific has got us into, is dealing with policies to prevent any takeover from Pacific or any outside sources from our programming. And it's to select the good general manager and program director that will listen most of all, and they have to listen to the listeners. This is a listener-driven station. We have to be subservient to the listeners. It is not about board members wanting their programming, their views on the air. It is about what the listeners want to hear, and that, and therefore we need to listen to what our listeners want and give them what they want. And this goes to local control, which is very important. Pacifica, we have to have policies to change Pacifica. Selecting our general manager has to be done by us.
Thank you. That was Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. And now, Karen Pickett.
say that my constituencies are primarily based in the activist community, a lot in the environmental community, but also the climate justice activist community and rural forest activists and many people who have been out in the streets with Occupy. And, you know, everybody from nonprofits to the direct action oriented groups. And I think that the way that we stay connected with them, is one, you know, we're just in communication with these communities. I think that it's, I think we can encourage the coverage of local issues that these activist communities are working on. I think we can tag particular shows because, you know, a lot of people would become listener sponsors of KPFA if they really knew what was on the air and how it was relevant to them. And, you know, unless you turn on the radio in just a random way, you don't necessarily know. So I think that there's a lot of ways to do that outreach and let people know what's there for them.
Okay, thank you. That was Karen Pickett. Now the question back to Mr. Siegel for 30 seconds.
Well, I think we all want to reach out to broader constituencies in the Bay Area. I think there's not much difference among the candidates on that issue. The issue is really, what will we do about it? Will we be able to protect KPFA's local budget so that more money will go into local programming that will bring in the constituencies that we're all talking about?
Okay, thank you. That was Dan Siegel. Our next question, what do you believe are some ways for the local station board to fulfill its responsibilities and duties as stated in the bylaws? Be specific and creative, please. This goes to Mr. Taylor Nichols.
Okay. Excuse me. As local station board members, I feel like the first thing that stands out to me is the town halls that we, at least I haven't seen in recent time. We should have these town halls. We should be able to engage our listeners more in terms of like what the station is doing. This is our first engagement in terms of accountability to the listeners, right? The town halls, I think, are a venue where we can get a lot of input from the listeners for giving the local station board direction as to where, you know, what's important, what we need to address. And then for us, those of us who can be on the local station board to decide what course of action to take, right? Whether it's budgetary measures, whether it's becoming a lot more creative about how we deal with expanding our listener base, our outreach. I feel like that's the first thing that stands out to me, that we have to be able to start connecting with the listeners more and have these town halls. In regards to responsibilities and duties, I think we owe it to the station, the staff, and the board to, you know, start getting along and start being more united in there, start showing it to our listeners, right? I run into a lot of folks in the community who have been listeners of KPFA for a long time and are telling me now that they're not tuning in, right? As I was asking some people about what they knew about KPFA recently, many of them didn't know what we were doing, right? And I think that goes directly to accountability at the local station board, right? And the fact that I'm running into people who have been listeners for a long time and are now listening now says a lot, you know, about what the local station board needs to be doing, right? And definitely start with the town halls. And then I would also say start getting into the program council. That's another way to get people in there and start building some direction that the local station board can use for running the organization.
Thank you. That was Ramses Taylor Nichols. Now the question to Mr. Fuentes Ramon.
Well, I think the important duties of the local station board member is going to be looking at the budget, making sure that we are not raided by Pacifica, making sure that we stay on track. And the second important issue for the local station board is to pick a pool of candidates that will be elected as the general manager, and then to see the pool of candidates for program director that the general manager will pick from. Thirdly is keep making policies for the station. And this is important because in making the policies, one of the policies is that the local station board has to remember the division of powers here and separation of powers. They cannot start mingling with programming that is not their job. That is the program director, general manager. Our job is to select the general manager, fire the general manager if they're not doing their job, and keep to policy making and stay out of programming. We want to be programmers. We should join, like everybody else, the line to be programmers and be on the pool.
Thank you. That was Mr. Fuentes Roman. Now the question to Ms. Pickett.
Well, I agree that one of the most important things is the review of the station's budget, not Pacifica's budget, but KPFA's budget. That's our responsibility. But in our review, we need to make sure that we have real figures and that the projections for income are realistic. And I think that that is an area where we've run into trouble before. Back before there were staff cutbacks in 2009, there was a decline in listenership, and before that there had been an increase in listenership, and during that time of increase, the number of paid staff was greatly enlarged, and it turned out that the increase in listenership, at least for that time period, was only temporary. And so when the economy crashed after we were already losing listeners, basically KPFA's
30 seconds.
Budget crashed. And so we need to make sure that our projections for what we're going to bring in are that we don't increase our expenses in keeping with projections for what's going to come in.
Thank you. That was Karen Pickett. And now to you, Mr. Siegel.
Thank you. I certainly agree that we need more civility on the local station board. I would appreciate it if no one would sue me, as folks have three times in the last 2.5 years. That would certainly make me feel a little more civil. And I also agree that our main responsibilities are to deal with the budget and to deal with leadership at the board level and at the station level. But I think that our main responsibility is to make sure that KPFA is much more, and I emphasize much more, successful than it now is in reaching the millions of people in the Bay Area who presumably share our politics. I mean, when we think of what's happened in the last year, whether it's dissatisfaction with Obama and the rest of them or the Occupy movement, there's millions who are out there whom we are not reaching. We're not reaching them because our programming is not equally good. It's uneven. A lot of it is good. Some of it is poor. But we're not reaching them in particular because we are 25 years behind in terms of our technology. My children, who are in their 40s and 30s, and my grandson, who's about to be a teenager, do not get their news and analysis from terrestrial radio. They get it from the internet, podcasting, and so on. And we need to stop the silly infighting and petty politics and focus on building an audience for KPFA.
Thank you. That was Dan Siegel. And back to you, Mr. Tail Nichols. 30 seconds.
Thank you. So really quick on the topic of our role with programming. I don't think our role is necessarily the programming as local station board members, but I do think that we have to hold the staff accountable around programming to some extent, right? We have to set goals, you know, just like anything else about policy and direction of the organization, we have to do that. But I do agree, as local station board members, we have to project what the future is going to be like and start assessing, you know, what do we know about how to update our organization and be able to go online and do other things that can modernize our station further.
Thank you. Just for a second, we're going to pause for station identification.
So you're listening to 94.1 KPFA Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is just shy of 9 p.m., and tonight we've preempted regular programming to listen to the Local Station Board Elections Forum. And now back to Aaron Morris.
Thank you. Back to our forum. Question. All of us have issues that we are particularly interested in with respect to KPFA. What are yours, and how would you work on them as a member of the local station board? The question to Mr. Fuentes Roman.
Well, it should come as no surprise that my issues do not matter. The issues that matter here is the $5 million in the hole that Pacifica has created by hiring union-busting attorneys, Jackson Lewis, over the years, by not listening to and respecting the audience, the listeners of KPFA who support the station. We need local control back. We need to establish policies so that Pacifica stops dictating who our general manager is. And the general manager who we select needs to listen to the board policies and what the board needs to listen to what the listeners want to hear. They need to respect the listeners. We need to have quality programming that's reliable. We need to make sure that the programs that are almost quality but not quite there, make sure that they get new. If they want training, we have the news training program. We have the apprenticeship program. We have internships. We have the program council, which we're bringing back. And we need to start looking into the podcasting, into running, again, series, special programmings. We need to make sure that Pacifica is doing what we set it up to do, which was to help the local stations, to fundraise for the local stations and not take money from the local stations for its own devices, but to do the work of fundraising for the local stations. We need to make sure that we have diversity in our programming. We need to make sure that transparency is always active at the Pacifica level as well as the local stations. We need to support our staff. We need to, again, bring back local control. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. Now the question to Karen Pickett.
Well, one of the things that I think that KPFA is uniquely capable of is to go out and do broadcasting from the streets and other places. And I think that we can look at that example. There was just some terrific programming that was done, that has been done during the Occupy movement, especially at the height of Occupy. And it was excellent programming, and I think brought some new people to the station. And also, there's live streams from events where there are academic speakers, and I think that those are great. But there's also a different kind of programming, like the live streams from the sunrise ceremony on Alcatraz. And these are things that nobody else in the Bay Area does. And I think that, you know, we can let more people know that that's what we're about, and that's one way to bring people in. One of the things that
30
that
seconds.
I guess I'm interested in, but that troubles me, is the infighting at the station and on the LSB. I think that we all basically want KPFA to survive and be healthy, and we need to figure out how to work collaboratively to do that.
Thank you. That was Karen Pickett. Now the question to you, Mr. Siegel.
Thank you. And let me say, I again agree with all of my colleagues who were running and who are on the air tonight. I would see as one of my special areas of concern over the next couple of years is dealing with the structural problems that I think underlie a lot of the inability of Pacifica to govern itself in a effective way, and which also encourage the kind of infighting that people are talking about. I want to see our governance streamlined, maybe have the LSBs and the national board cut by somewhere between 30% and 40%. I want to see the authority of the national board and the national staff reduced, and less money in the national staff, more autonomy at the local level, and more accountability at the local level. It's amazing that in the last year, the national office has rejected KPFA's balanced budget, which we were able to make and still pay all of our 20 percent to the national office, and also to reject all of the candidates that we put forward for local station manager after conducting a search that took months and involved many, many candidates. But these are the kinds of problems that I think lead to irresponsibility. I don't want people in Houston or New York telling KPFA what to do. We need to take responsibility and to take accountability for our actions on a local level.
Thank you. That was Dan Siegel. Now the question to Mr. Tail Nichols.
I grew up in a city that doesn't have radio, community radio, like we have here in the Bay Area. I always feel like KPFA and Pacifica and the shows that are on there should expand, should reach out to other places. And I actually value that we have a Pacifica as a network, as the Pacifica Foundation. Whether, you know, there are issues in regards to our relationship with SKPFA, with the Pacifica Foundation and that governing board, to me it goes back to having to empower our local station board. And that's actually why I decided to go ahead and run, and hope you vote for me and the United for Community Radio slate, because what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to do, is bring what skills I have and experience I have to empower local station board to, you know, in a short run, get past our divisions, start to project, you know, and to plan the next few steps that we need to do to get past the troubles we have financially and, you know, process-wise in our organization. And then from there, also engage Pacifica in a way that we're accountable to our listeners and also stay true to our values and mission as KPFA and Pacifica. So it alarms me a little bit when I do hear that, you know, this sort of sense of like autonomy or break away from Pacifica, because I think there's actually a lot of value in staying as part of Pacifica, because I come from a place where we don't have anything like this, right? And this is something that we need to see happen more and more, and I think staying in Pacifica is going to be key to that.
Thank you. 30 seconds back to Mr. Fuentes Roman.
So I'm running on the Save KPFA slate because we're not the slate of austerity. We believe in quality programming. We want local control. And most of all, respect our listeners and support our staff. We need transparency and diversity, and we need to move forward united to achieve these goals and not to fall back on austerity measures.
Thank you. That was Jose Luis Fuentes. Final question in this particular segment is, how can KPFA increase its outreach to young people? And this question is going to go to Ms. Pickett.
Well, I think that one way we do that outreach is we go to where that community is. And, you know, I would reference Occupy again, because a lot of great outreach happened during that time when the broadcasters were out there in the streets and talking to people who were in the streets who maybe had never been on the air before. And it's an empowering thing. And then people begin to understand what radio can be. I think that I agree with what other people have said about the technology needing to be improved. It needs to be improved greatly, because we need to be in keeping with the current times, the way that people consume their news today, not the way that people consume their news 30 years ago. I mean, I'm a big fan of audio radio, but I'm not one of the youth that we're trying to reach. So that's a big job, and I think that the people on the LSB can help with that. I think that there's a lot of other people in the community that can help with that as well. I think that we can also have other models, like the apprenticeship program that we have at KPFA is an amazing national model that other people have looked to. I think that we can do more of that sort of thing.
30 seconds.
Because other shows with paid staff, with unpaid staff, people who have been on the radio for years, can bring in interns, and there can be a lot more mentorship and training than perhaps we have now.
Thank you. That was Karen Pickett. Now the question to Mr. Siegel.
I really think there are two answers to that question. One has to do with what we cover, what we put out over the airwaves, and Frankly, I think we do a fairly good job in that regard, but we can do better. We can provide more coverage of issues in local communities that young people care about and are involved with. We can provide cultural work in the field of music and other things that address a younger audience. But the big problem is not the what, but the how. There are very few people, and you're just going to have to, you know, survey it if it's not believed. There are very few people in their teens, their 20s, even their 30s, who spend a lot of time listening to the radio. They know how to get content from the internet on their schedules. They don't have to worry about our schedules. They can listen to Democracy Now! Anytime, 24/7, and we have to improve our programming over the internet and use every new type of media so that the important and valuable material that we put out is accessible to young people.
Thank you. That was Dan Siegel. The question now to Mr. Tao Nichols.
Thank you. So this is a question that goes around in many different organizations, definitely in the union that I belong in, SEIU 10-1. It's how do we reach out to young people? And not just reach out to young people, but how do we get them involved? How do they become part of the organization and, you know, help us influence our direction? It, you know, it's a lot of organizations, you know, around the country are facing these questions, right? For me, some of the things that I work are definitely getting out there to where the youth are, bringing them in to participate where we can have them participate, and also having an actual intentional leadership development program, right? And you know, in regards to Pacifica, it may not be necessarily leadership, but definitely how do we recruit and keep them involved? And right now, I've seen a lot of young people involved who I really appreciate who are unpaid staff in various programs of KPFA. That's already like a pool of young people who can participate in KPFA. But many of them that I've talked to don't want to. They see the infighting. They see all the troubles we've been having. So it's going to be like a several-step process to get there, right? But I feel like we shouldn't limit it to just how do we put the station out there more so people can download our podcast or so. We actually have to make our organization mirror what a vision of having young people involved looks like, right? That's one thing I want to do. Vote for me, and if I get on the local station board, it's going to be one of my missions to make sure that we start getting to a place where we get young people to take interest and participate in KPFA.
Thank you, Mr. Tao Nichols. And finally, the question to Mr. Fuentes Roman.
So I'm on the board of this nonprofit organization, Youth Together, and we deal with youths in the high schools, and we have a whole system set up for reaching the youths, and it is important that we need to listen to the youth, just like we need to listen to our listeners and respect our listeners. We need to respect the youths and what they want to hear. KPFA had a program on Saturdays where teenagers would be on the radio for one reason or the other. That program is not around any longer, but that's just, we weren't respecting the listeners there. The kids would like listening to other kids, and it wasn't at the quality programming, but it was quality enough for kids to understand. And this is where the apprenticeship program is important, and the internship program, as well as the news training. And we're going to be able to reach out to the Fruitvale communities here locally, Hispanic listeners, day laborers, and we'd be able to listen to them through going out in the street and talking to them. I know with the work I've done with gang members and with Eastside Art Alliance and the Fruitvale, all these youths are quite active. They know how to reach the radio, the internet, and they will listen if the programming is such that what they want to hear. And for that, we need to respect what they want to hear and give them what they want to hear.
Thank you, Mr. Fuentes Roman. Before I return the question back to Ms. Pickett for redress, I want to invite listeners to call into the station with their questions and comments. The number for the on-air studio line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. And now back to Ms. Pickett. 30 seconds.
Well, I think that we have general agreement that we need to improve our web presence, our internet presence. And like was said by somebody else, the question is how. And that's not something that there are quick, easy answers to, but I think that there are a number of people that we can collaborate with that can help make that happen, whether they're on the LSB or not. But I think that any community that we're reaching out to, what we have to do is go out and figure out what makes that constituency tick and see if it, what's important to them, and see if it fits into, okay.
Thank you, Ms. Piggott. Thank you. I appreciate it. That brings the top half of our debate to a conclusion, and now it is time to move on to questions from callers. Again, I'm going to ask the callers, direct your questions to all candidates. Your calls will be screened, and questions directed at all candidates will be taken ahead and given priority to calls that are directed towards one candidate. Also, please keep your questions concise, preferably 20 seconds or less, in order to leave more time for our candidates' responses. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. Roland?
Yes.
Thank you for waiting, Roland.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about the local fundraising drives. Basically, roughly one-fourth of the time of the station during the year, the station is in fund drive, and it seems to be very disrespectful of the listeners to have this very hard driving approach to raising money. Do the candidates for the local station board believe there's a role for the local station board in setting the format for fund driving or how to raise funds other than through these very troublesome fund drives? Hello.
Thank you. The question is going to go to Mr. Siegel first.
Okay, thank you. Roland, I agree with you 100%, and I think that Pacifica, to survive, needs to diversify its fundraising, whether it's doing direct mail or various kinds of events or targeting people for contributions. You know, the problem with our fundraising is, unfortunately, one of the legacies of the political factionalism and petty politics that I was talking about earlier. Our former CFO, who was fired in 2009, had long pointed out that Pacifica's demographic was changing, it was aging, and that we needed to find new directions for fundraising. Unfortunately, people on the national board were more motivated by their dislike of this individual and their desire to put one of their friends in, so they fired him, and that started the 5 years, $5.5 million worth of deficits. One of the main priorities of the national board should be to replace the bureaucratic financial apparatus in the national office with a staff of people whose primary job is to do fundraising for the network.
Thank you. That was Dan Siegel. Now the question to you, Mr. Tao Nichols.
So thank you for the question, Roland. So I'm as a listener, I also sometimes am listening and wondering how long is this funding drive going to go, right? Like, you know, and I'm not so much disturbed, but rather feeling like, geez, how much money do we need to keep the station going? You know, how many donations should we get? You know, and I personally go out there and try to make sure other people I know, you know, do their contribution and help out, right? But every year that passes, I feel like there needs to be more of an accountability or, you know, financial responsibility in terms of, like, in regards to how we diversify our fundraising. I think that one way that we can start doing that, internally start to look at other similar stations who fundraise the way we do, right, in places maybe where they find out how they're trying it in other stations around the country, what's working, what's not, see if we as local station board can recreate some things that maybe are working in other stations. But a lot of this is also going to depend on how much our station is successful delivering its programming, getting out there, expanding its listener base, so then we can get to our goals of fundraising a lot faster, right? And then we're not trying to, you know, get this money as consistently as we have been in the last, you know, so many years. But that's going to be a challenge, right? And that's going to be one of the things the local station board has to be able to come together, you know, maybe develop particular committees, you know, and, you know, venture out, figure out, try to get creative. And it's going to take all of us to actually approve something if we're going to make actual changes, right? And then inside of that, you know, I would also try to assess what's our relationship with Pacifica Foundation, what things are working, what things are not. And then going back to what I was saying earlier, empowering a local station board to step up, you know, and also make sure that we take on, you know, Pacifica and issues that we feel maybe we don't have the same agreement, but we have to be able to be empowered enough to, you know, be accountable to our listeners and to our financial goals as KPFA.
Thank you. That's Ramses Town Nichols. Now the question to Mr. Fuentes Roman.
No, I have very little to add to this, as everyone seems to have covered the bases. I think Roland is correct that we need to respect the listeners. We need to look at quality programming. We need to see what works. The morning show was bringing in money up front, brought in a lot of money. Letters and Politics brought in a lot of money. We need to go back and look at the Arbitron ratings. We got rid of the Arbitron ratings some years ago. Now, they're flawed. They have different issues, and we understand that they're flawed, but we understand that they're useful for other purposes, and we need to go back and take what's useful on the Arbitron ratings, on the when we do have the fundraising, and focus on quality programming and develop different revenue sources and different approaches. You know, we can have a sustainer program. You have a few people, and we need to respect them, and we also need to acknowledge them, but a few people donating money so that these fund drives don't last as long and they're not hard driven, as there's some sustainers. You know, we have donating cars in your wills, putting KPFA on your wills, and different avenues of donations that will hopefully take care of having to ask the listeners for long periods of times for money that we can obtain other ways. And most importantly, stop hiring union busting attorneys. We don't need them. All they do is take our money.
Thank you. That's Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. Now the question finally to Karen Pickett.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the entire group of people who are the team of United for Community Radio are against union busting firms, absolutely, and this has been stated by everybody. The union busting firm that was involved a number of years ago was on the list of the insurance company that Pacifica is by law required to carry that insurance. But as far as fundraising goes, we do need to diversify the ways that we do it. I saw a draft plan that one of our UCR candidates had authored. It hasn't been passed, but it had to do with doing more of the membership and the fundraising online and allowing people who subscribe online access to special programs as well as premiums. And I think that there's a lot of creative ideas like that that we could pursue. My understanding is that also there hasn't been grant funding of anything at KPFA in quite some time. I'm not sure how long, but I think that there is potential for training grants for cultural programming, grants for programs that reach diverse communities. And I think that we can look to other public stations, even if they're public stations that we wouldn't listen to see what they do, like silent fundraisers before they start the on-air fundraising. Sometimes those things work.
Okay, thank you. That was Karen Pickett. I believe we have Rebecca on the line. Rebecca?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Quick question. KPFA has been losing listeners since 2006. Approximately 25% or so over that period of time, over the past 6 years, subscribers. And the question is, do the candidates have an analysis for what's been going wrong over the past 6 years? And what would they try to press to happen differently to reverse that downward trend, which has been effect, which has been in effect for the past 6 years?
Okay, thank you. That question is going to go first to Ramses Tal-Nichols.
Okay, good question. Thank you, Rebecca. I haven't been on the local station board before, and one of the reasons why I'm running is because I feel like that's exactly what's been happening. We've been losing listeners. The numbers are showing it. And while out campaigning recently, actually, and, you know, at some community events, and I talked to a few folks, you know, do you know we have elections coming? Are you aware? Do you know about our UCR slate? I couldn't believe there was a few folks who just aren't listening to KPFA anymore, but they're deeply involved in issues that we're always reporting on KPFA, that we're always contributing some analysis, you know, and coverage for. And some of the reasons they gave me, you know, it's exactly what some of us in UCR have analyzed, is that there are other stations doing similar programming. There's other methods to get your news, like podcasts, like more online access that we're not doing at KPFA very much. But I think in terms of like an analysis for how do we address this and how do we move forward, I would start with a lot of our own staff and participants and volunteers at KPFA who are really well aware over the years exactly how we've been losing listeners, how listeners have gone elsewhere. Many of them, you know, have good incomes. You know, they can afford to give a $25 donation to KPFA, but they're not even doing that at this point, right? So as much as I love to say, like, this is exactly the next step, what we got to do, I come from an organizing background, and what I want to do is make sure that we organize this effort to figure out how do we move forward, how do we address this, right? What are the key things that we need to do? Get out there in the community, of course, right? Maybe build partnerships with community organizations to develop more listener base, you know, in terms of, you know, through by way of maybe some of the programming. Sure, we got to negotiate that with staff as well, right? Develop further programming, like a listener type of, like, subscription. Yes, we should do that. Other stations are doing that. There are a lot of things that we can do, but we got to be bold and definitely start trying a lot of those, and that's what I want to do on the LSB.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tal-Nichols. The question now to Mr. Fuentes Roman.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that question. And I think Dan Siegel hit this on the spot with the CFO in 2009 who was fired telling us what the problem was. And the problem, as I understand it, is, and it's not new, the problem is what many different financial sectors are experiencing, is when you have an older generation and you don't have a younger generation that's picking up the slack and taking the baton and carrying it, you're going to have a decrease in revenue. So we need to focus on the young listeners. We need to go and politicize them. We need to go into marginalized communities that we haven't looked at before. The Hispanic community, as we all know, plays a big role in this society, and it's been neglected by other parties, and there's consequences to that. The Fruitvale, there's tons of folks there that are sensitive to our issues. Likewise, there's lots of families in West Oakland that are sensitive to our issues. Lots of families up north that are sensitive to our issues, and their kids are sensitive and experiencing what occurs when you rely on the government and the other two parties. And so we need to reach out to these young folks through diverse media. We need to respect what it is that they want to listen to, make sure we have quality programming, make sure we train them to be our future leaders and listeners for KPFA.
Thank you, Jose Luis Fuentes. The question now to Karen Pickett.
Well, I think that obviously we can blame part of the decline on the economy, but not all of it. We have to take responsibility for changes that have not yet been made, which, you know, are first and foremost better technology and getting on the internet. And one thing about getting on the internet in a way that makes it a lot more accessible to people is that we also expand our reach far beyond the Bay Area, and therefore, you know, we would have more listeners, and and hopefully a lot of those people would subscribe. A lot of people from out of state already do subscribe, but we need to reach the people who weren't already listening before. We need to reach the new listeners. And so I wholly agree that we need to focus on the young and new listeners, but also involving the listeners with things like the town hall meetings, because I think that the more people have a vested interest in the station and the more that they are asked the question, what do you want to hear, what's important to you, the more they will become a financial part of the radio station.
Thank you. That was Karen Pickett. Now the question finally to Mr. Siegel.
Well, you know, again, I agree. I think the answer is better, more consistent content put out over a greater variety of media will help create a base for new diverse fundraising as well as on-the-air fundraising. You know, when I started law school in 1967, I was about 9 years old, but I first met KPFA in the streets of Berkeley during anti-war demonstrations, and there were these reporters walking around carrying cassette recorders, talking to people and putting the news on the air as it was happening. You know, flash forward to November 2011, there were half a dozen Pacifica reporters at the Occupy demonstrations at 4 or 5 in the morning in downtown Oakland, again putting content on the air. That should be our model. The people who are participating in those movements, in the immigration movements, in the anti-police abuse movements, want to be able to go to a place where they can find the news that's of concern to them, not just when it's happening, but also to be able to go to an internet site where they could play back the day's news clips and media at any time. That will reinvigorate this organization. The other thing that will do that is creating a more facile, a more quick on its feet, less bureaucratic organization. Pacifica needs to decentralize, not dissolve. It needs to decentralize like most nonprofits have been doing for at least 10 years and give us the autonomy on a local level to succeed in the way that we figure out that we can.
Okay, thank you. I believe we have Carlos on the line.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. Very good programming. I've been a long-time listener and donor to KPFA, and it really breaks my heart to see all the divisions and the differences, but I think it's part of our community. We cannot stay away from that. My question to the candidate is, I've been in high-tech corporate America for many years, and my sense, it's very hard for me and I think for many listeners to tell which of the sides is right. We don't go into the books. We don't see the numbers. So, but one thing I can tell, and that is that I think the crisis was extremely poorly managed. It was very confrontational. It was very disrespectful of the KPFA staff and the listeners when that, I mean, this is my opinion. When the morning show was canceled, I think it was very, very poorly managed personally. So the question I have for the candidate is, moving forward, when there are these crises in the future or these differences, how do you think they should be managed? And let me just say 5 more seconds. I think the way this should have been managed in this crisis would have been for the management to get everybody together at Pacific, at KPFA, show the numbers and try to reach a common agreement. And I think that KPFA people, staff, are not dumb. And they would have conceded and come to some kind of an agreement, and we could have moved forward in a much, much better way. That's my feeling if I had been the manager of the station. So I want to hear what the candidates have.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. The question is going to go first to Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
Thank you, Carlos. I think that's a very good question, and I think that goes to the heart of the problem that KPFA and Pacifica is currently having, and one of the things that needs to happen is board development, and that means training of board members in restorative justice principles, in non-combative communication with each other, and not personalizing the issues, no ad hominem attacks against each other, but treat each other with respect. And that respect needs to flow all the way down to the listeners, and the listeners must be respected at all times. We have forgotten that the listeners are who we serve, and have believe that we serve ourselves, our own ideological interests, our own egos, and that has to stop. And only through restorative justice principles and non-combative training that we need to invest in each other will be able to civilly discuss issues. I think the staff at KPFA knows how to handle crisis. They know how not to be austere with each other. They pull for each other. They split shifts. We have a lot of part-time people working at the station, and instead of laying off their comrades, they'll go part-time, and so they know how to deal with it. KPFA is not in the red right now. It's in the black. It has a small surplus. Pacifica wants to raid that, of course. And again, we need to focus on who the problem is here. We need to restructure Pacifica so it serves us and it serves the listeners most importantly.
Thank you. That was Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. The question now to Ms. Pickett.
Well, I don't think that really there's anybody who's happy with the way that that whole situation played out. I think that it was really unfortunate. I think that there could have been much better communication. I won't say that there's a lot of people to blame, but there's a lot of people responsible. And it was very politicized, which I think is also really unfortunate, because that brought about all these rumors, and the listeners and even some people at the station didn't really know what was going on. So yes, it would have been better if people had been able to sit down and talk to each other in a way where there would have been a level of fairness. I think that my understanding, at least, is that a lot of other avenues were pursued, and some of them were used when the budget needed to be remedied, like offering voluntary early severance and other cutbacks, and those means were used before anybody was laid off. But whereas it's portrayed as the cancellation of a show, what it really was adherence to a union contract using the seniority list. And I think that the very real but painful fact is that sometimes it's the last hired, first fired.
30 seconds.
And that reality came into play. But I think that everybody agrees that it was poorly handled by everyone and far too politicized.
Thank you. That was Karen Pickett on the telephone. Now the question to Mr. Siegel.
Well, first of all, I agree with Carlos as to how it should have been handled, but I think we need to really look at the facts to see why it wasn't handled that way, and I have to disagree with the last speaker. Here's how it was handled. The majority on the national board, and that majority includes representatives of United for Community Radio and their allies, hired an executive director. That executive director was motivated and encouraged by some of those same folks to go after the morning show and to fire the two on-air people who ran the show, Brian Edwards Teekert and Amy Allison. And she did so. It was not in accordance with the union contract. In fact, Brian was reinstated and ordered to be given his back pay. And by the way, Pacifica was represented by Jackson Lewis, and that was approved by that same UCR-affiliated National Board majority, and that was not several years ago. That was this year that Jackson Lewis worked for Pacifica. So we need to be clear. These things are not done well, but if we're going to not repeat the problems, we have to do more than say, well, gee, that's kind of too bad, and we need to have it happen in a better way next time. We need to change the system so that the stations have more autonomy, so that the National Executive Director and National Board will not tell KPFA who should be on the air, who should be fired, and who should be replaced. Nor should they tell us how to spend our balanced budget, nor should they tell us who to hire as our station manager.
Thank you. That was Dan Siegel. The question now finally to Ramses Teo Nichols.
Yeah, I'd like to, excuse me, I'd like to recognize that what happened with the morning show is definitely one of the more difficult recent times I noticed as a listener, and definitely one of the more painful episodes that I've seen KPFA go through since I've been a listener. I don't want to entertain or get into that too much. I wasn't, you know, a local station board when that happened. You know, I wasn't a staff or anything, but as a listener, I can tell, like, that definitely left a huge scar in KPFA. But what I do want to say is how to deal with the crisis. And I thank Carlos for bringing that up. Is I have experience in dealing with crisis, right? I've come from being a rank-and-file union member, organizing with my coworkers to have a union, going from having coworkers pitted against each other to uniting and moving forward, you know, and winning a union. You know, those kinds of experiences, like, kind of really, like, let you understand how to work with people, how to work with many different type of people, right, which is a lot of what we have at KPFA right now, many different opinions. You know, and then to also working on, like, the budgets in San Francisco, which I've been a part of for a long time, organizing in the community and in labor and building alliances, you know, when all these organizations and workers are pitted against each other. And that's exactly, I feel like, you know, what is at the root of a lot of these problems and crises in many organizations like KPFA, like labor, like community organizations, you know, over the last decade. It's a lot of, you know, like, a reduction in your revenue, right? And, like, layoffs and being faced with having to cut down, you know, and all the hardships that come from that. Those are very difficult things. And I want to be able to get on this. I want to get voted in, and I want to get on local station board, because as a listener, I want KPFA to get past this. And we have to develop the processes. We have to facilitate really well how these local station board meetings happen and develop processes for people to feel empowered, that they can talk about the issues they're dealing with in a way that they're not invalidated, and they can come back and the local station board be accountable to everybody at KPFA.
Thank you. I believe we have... Now, Chandra on the line. Chandra?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I was trying to get my dog to stop barking. Sorry. Hi. In 2008, the Pacifica National Board ordered all the five stations to reduce the staff to balance the budget. KPFA, who was managed by a former general manager allied with Safe KPFA, refused to do so, but instead hired additional staff. Brian Edwards Tiekert, who was the treasurer at the time, warned the local station board that layoffs had to be made in order to balance the budget. But they weren't made. They weren't made till 2010, and at that time, more drastic measures had to be taken. Jackson Lewis was not hired to represent Pacifica on any labor issues. There were no labor contract violations. In fact, there were five complaints filed with the National Labor Relations Board by those laid off, and all of them were reversed, and it cost Pacifica money for each of those complaints that were filed. The people that were laid off from the morning show had the lowest seniority. The CWA contract was not violated. So I'd like the people that are providing misinformation to correct that information and to address why layoffs did not occur in 08, when their allies were the treasurer and the general manager, and ask the other people to ask everybody to address all these issues, if possible.
Thank you, Chandra. The question is going to go first to Karen Pickett.
Well,
when we talk about autonomy, I think that, you know, we also talk about responsibility. And my understanding, I wasn't on the board then, it's true, but my understanding from reading documents is that, you know, KPFA was in financial trouble. There was more paid staff than the budget could support. And if KPFA at the local station level had made the recommended cutbacks, then Pacifica would not have stepped in. So it's not that it is Pacifica's MO to step into local station politics and employment issues all the time. That happened to keep KPFA from going over the cliff. And I also read a passage from a meeting where Brian Edwards Tiegert recommended those budget cuts. He was citing the hundreds of thousands of dollars that had been lost in 2009, and said that, you know, it was an inflated budget on the expense side, and there had to be cutbacks. And he was treasurer then. And yet he was one of the ones who most vociferously protested those cuts. So, and I, you know, I like the morning show. I really loved Amy Allison. The stark reality is that she was a relatively new employee. And so she was in that place in the seniority list. And it's very unfortunate.
Thank you. That's Karen Pickett. The question now to Dan Siegel.
Okay, I'm not really sure I heard a question, but let me address at least a couple of the points that Chandra made. First of all, I wasn't on the board in 2008 or 2009. I'm not sure about the details of KPFA's budgets during those years, but I can tell you that the LSB has passed a balanced budget each time it has passed the budget while I've been on the KPFA LSB. And KPFA has contributed each year more than its 20% share of its fundraising to the national office. So I don't really think you can have much of a complaint about KPFA's fundraising or its responsibility for managing its own budget, at least over the last 3 years. While since 2009, over the last 4 years, the network as a whole has gone into the negative by $5.4 million. So, you know, please explain that. With respect to the claim that there was no violation with the layoffs of the staff on the morning show, please explain why, if there was no violation, Brian was ordered to have his job back and was given back pay. Was that because someone was feeling like Santa Claus, or was it because the contract was broken? I mean, the answer is obvious. And yes, a decision was made to cut Amy Allison, a young African-American woman who was tremendously popular and was doing great things for Pacifica. And everyone who thinks that was fine can pat themselves on the back. I would have found $60,000 elsewhere in the budget to cut so we could have kept Amy.
Thank you. That's Dan Siegel. The question now to Ramses Town Nichols.
Thank you. Thank you, Chandra, for bringing that up. I guess as someone who wasn't here when most of this happened or all of this happened, I would address this in terms of, like, how do we deal with it? How could we deal with it now, right? How do we avoid, especially our listeners, finding out, you know, in this sort of, like, external way what's going on with the station by hearing, you know, conflict on the air sometimes all over the Internet, you know, and having a difficult time understanding what's going on? What, you know, is there cohesion? Is there unity at KPFA? So I want to address one piece, you know, that I have some experience with that I feel like I want to bring in terms of perspective to local station board is being a union worker inside of a organization that stands for social justice, for economic justice, you know, that has values and a mission, you know, being accountable to the community. And I feel like that's something that's kind of relatively new a lot in labor, right? I mean, I come from a union where we're organizing a lot of nonprofit workers. We've been organizing nonprofit workers in community organizations that are supposed to be great. They don't, you know, they're not against workers. They treat everybody right. And then we find out, once you start working there, that's not the case, right? That was my experience, right? And I feel like there's sort of that relationship, there's sort of that, you know, somewhat of a tension, you know, at KPFA. In regards to, like, a budget and layoffs, those are hard things to have to go through as a worker, right? And I sense that oftentimes people feel like, hey, there's budget cuts to be made. People just have to understand. But it's not that simple when that directly translates into somebody losing their job, right? And you have to be a lot more sensitive to those issues. I also feel like as a union worker, you have to also understand that the board and the employer, those are your employers, right? Your relationship with them is that they hold your, they, you have an agreement with them as a contract, right? That needs to be respected too, right? There needs to be boundaries. And those are some of the things that I want to be able to explore and do as in local station board is definitely bring some perspectives and be able to really connect the two and move forward.
Thank you, Ramses. Tian Nichols. The question now finally to Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
So I'm running on the Save KPFA slate because we're not the slate of austerity. We would have found money to keep the morning show around. That is what the board is supposed to do, and it's supposed to look at what are the ratings. The morning show is bringing in money, and also we look at the Arbitron rating. We shouldn't have got. We need to pay for Arbitron ratings. See what are the ratings there. Also look at our listeners, and most importantly, let's listen to our listeners. What is it that they want? They want the morning show. It shows because the finances are there. They're bringing in money and the Arbitron ratings are there. So why would you go and cut quality programming? We need to focus on quality programming. We need to focus on local control. We need to respect our listeners. We need to support our staff. We need to have non-combative dialogue with each other. And we need transparency and diversity most of all. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. I believe we have one more question from Haido.
Hello?
Hi, Haido.
Hi. I want to say a couple of things. First of all, thank you so much, you guys, for fighting the good fight. I have to tell you, I've been inspired and motivated and just totally moved by KPFA. So thank you for doing what you do. So I don't know why 25% people, less people listen to KPFA, but I know why I listened less to KPFA. And it's because it's difficult for me to, on top of the difficulties of daily life, have to listen to not very encouraging news. And I'm wondering what the panelists think about including a more positive aspect, a more positive take, a more positive philosophy, if you will, of the station to include a lot more of the great, wonderful, fascinating, great things that are happening all around us here in the Bay Area and all over the world. Because when I listen to KPFA, I often don't feel inspired anymore. I feel depressed, and then my own trauma starts to kick in, and I just can't listen to it anymore, you know? And I'm sure I'm not the only person that is going through this. I love to have programming that inspires me, that makes me feel more hopeful for the future and more engaged. So what do you guys think about that? Maybe having more positive news, more encouraging information in there.
Thank you, Haido, for your question. And I'll turn that over to Mr. Siegel.
Okay, thank you, Haido. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by encouraging news. A lot of the news that we get from around the world and around the country is not very encouraging when you think about the concentration of wealth and power in the 1% and the way in which that's manifested throughout the world. To me, though, the encouraging news is the news of people fighting back, the developments in the labor movement, particularly in California and the Bay Area, where workers in longshore and hospital and government workers are taking on the bosses. To me, that's encouraging. People fighting for justice for Alan Bluford is encouraging. People fighting against gang injunctions in favor of the rights of people from other countries, that's encouraging. So, if that's your point, I'm with you 100%, and I think that if we can stop wasting so much time and energy fighting among ourselves at Pacifica and send both, by the way, paid staff and unpaid staff, and I support both 150% out into the community to gather this good news of people's struggle and use that news to help build that struggle and as a tool for people who are active themselves to be able to spread their message. I'm for it.
Thank you, Dan Siegel. The question now to Ramses Tian-Nichols.
Thank you. More positive news. I hear that. Definitely. I feel like if that's, you know, I feel like actually that's feedback I've gotten and heard from other listeners around the Bay, right? Like, how does that translate? You know, I think that definitely championing the wins in the community by people in the community winning for their rights, economic justice, social justice. But I want to take it back to, you know, how do we listen to the listeners, you know, from the station board, from KPFA? And it's by bringing back, you know, the town halls, right? And then, and then to an extent, you know, working with the, you know, local station board, community advisory board, program council, all those different, you know, pieces of KPFA need to be able to be started and work together to be accountable, right? If I hear something in a town hall overwhelmingly telling us, I want more positive news, I want to hear more what's actually being won rather than, you know, more bombs dropping in another country because it depresses me, like, I can totally relate to that, right? There's already enough hurt, you know, enough difficulties in our communities, you know, and sometimes too much is too much, right? So how do we do that? And I think we need to start listening to our listeners. Let us know. Give us some ideas. Give us some direction so we as local station board can take that back, you know, and try to implement it as local station board members through the workings of our of KPFA and Pacifica as well, so that we can do the things that the listeners want us to do, especially when they're telling us directly, specifically why they're not listening, right? Those are the things we need to know, and I think by restarting the town halls and having a local station board working well with committee advisory board and program council, you know, starting that up again, we can start putting all those things together to revitalize our listener base and be able to start moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Tian-Nichols. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
You know, I want to thank Roland, Rebecca, Carlos, Chandra, and Haido who have called, and these are the listeners we need to be listening to as prospective board members, and we need to be looking for a general manager and a program manager that's going to adhere to what these listeners want to hear, and it's the job of the general manager, program manager to make sure that the programming these listeners want to hear will be given to them. As a board member, again, our job is to look at policies, make sure that diversity programming is occurring, making sure that the budget is balanced, making sure that Pacifica is not raiding our coffers, making sure that union busting attorneys aren't hired to be fighting the local stations, and making sure that there's transparency, support for our staff, and that's what the local board should be doing. And most importantly, is the general manager to make sure that the listeners are respected, programming that they want is given to them.
Thank you, Jose Fuentes Roman. Karen Pickett?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what the caller brought up, and I think that, you know, there's there's a lot of problems out there that we need to be looking at and figuring out how to solve. There's also a lot of righteous campaigns happening. I think that what happens a lot with the program at KPFA is that, you know, we have this responsibility to kind of be a counterbalance to counter the mainstream media who are ignoring so many of the huge problems that are out there that we really do need to deal with and that are, that affect our lives. But I think that the more that we engage with listeners, through the town hall meetings, as people have said, and also by resurrecting a program council, we can talk about how to bring in more news of campaigns and struggles and even news of victories so that all of these descriptions about the dire circumstances will always have an element that tells people what they can do and who is working on these issues.
Thank you. That was Karen Pickett. Now, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I'm going to give each candidate 30 seconds for a short closing statement, and we'll start with Ramses Tian-Nichols.
Thank you, Aaron. Again, I'm running for the United for Community Radio slate. You can find us at bookcommunityradio.org and our candidate statements online. I want to be on local station board so that I can be a part of moving the station forward. I'm definitely in favor of bringing back the program council and having a local station board that has town halls and that is accountable to its listener base as well as the community and the mission and values of the organization. And definitely one of my goals is to also get more young people involved, and that's what I want to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Theo Nichols. Now, Jose Luis Fuentes Ramon.
I ask you to vote for myself, Jose Luis Fuentes Ramon, as well as the Save KPFA slate. We're not the slate of austerity. We're reasonable. We want to listen to and respect what the listeners want. We want to ensure that Pacifica and KPFA not only are here next year, but for future generations and the next seven generations.
Thank you, Jose Fuentes Luis. Fuentes Ramon, I apologize. And Ms. Pickett?
Well, I hope that people will include all of the United for Community Radio candidates in their rankings and send their ballots in right after the on-air forums end on Tuesday, if they haven't already. I want to do what I can do to support and improve a healthy, vibrant station and network with cutting-edge programs and have it be a place where all of the people who produce those programs can thrive and be respected.
Thank you, Ms. Pickett. Finally, Mr. Siegel.
Thank you. You have heard in this segment four people who I think to be qualified and sincere in their interest in serving on the local station board. But here's the problem. For better or for worse, we have a two-party system here at KPFA. One party is Save KPFA, the other one is United for Community Radio. They have, unfortunately, not these people, but their allies have been in the forefront of bringing our foundation to ruin and have undermined our ability.
Thank you.
KPFA.
Thank you, Mr. Siegel.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to take a moment just really quick to remind the listener that the ballots are due by December 11th, and if you have already mailed in your ballot at this point without having first heard from the candidates and you would like a new ballot, or if you have questions about tonight's forum, then please contact me at election@kpfa.org or leave a message 510-848-6767, extension 212. You may also contact the help desk at Election Services directly to request a replacement ballot. This includes any of you, for some reason you may not have received your ballot. That toll-free number is 866-720-4357. Thank you for listening to the second of the five debates. Please stay tuned tomorrow at 7 p.m. and we'll have a new set of candidates for you. Thank you.